Welcome to Parenting with Sisu, the podcast with an international perspective on family life in Finland.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of Parenting with Sisu. I'm Katja and I'm here with my lovely co-hosts Eleonora and Rabia.
Hi.
Hello.
And today we want to talk about something easy and fun. Today we want to talk about those things that are unique to Finnish parenting and Finnish kids. Things that stand out and that most of us parents have probably spent some time wondering about at one point or another. Wondering about the things that seem slightly strange and interesting and fascinating all at the same time, right? So, what are the things that come to your mind when you think about Finland, kids, parenting?
Drinking a lot of milk.
Having porridge.
Oh yeah, true. 3 times a day, at least.
Letting your kids sleep outside?
In the cold.
Oh yeah, and candy day.
I didn't know about that one yet.
Oh yeah?
But also, Finnish kids are really independent at a very early age.
And they wear really puffy overalls and rainwear and long gloves and silk hats that you never heard of.
Yeah, very special kids wear.
Yeah, and oh, the baby box, like the maternity box from Kela.
That's the famous one.
Absolutely, that's the most famous thing, probably. And anything else?
Maybe the dads being very involved in the kids' lives, maybe more than on average in Europe or the world.
Yeah, that's true.
Some of them.
Okay, okay, well, that's a lot of unique little things, so let's break them up and talk about them separately for a moment. How about we start from those related to food? Milk and porridge.
Okay, so why so much milk? Finns consume more milk than anyone else in the world, just like they do with coffee. But yeah, it starts with kids being given milk at every opportunity, and then even adults still drink milk with every meal, even after workout, I learned yesterday. That was a new fact to me. And even though I have nothing against milk, it has been part of my diet for most of my life, but I'm just wondering, why does it need to be so much and where are the benefits?
Yeah, I guess the main benefits is calcium, vitamin D, I also read somewhere vitamin A. So that's one of the reasons why they're really pushing milk into your diet.
Yeah, and along with the saturated fats actually from full fat dairy products, which include also full fat milk, they're really essential for the brain development in the early years. So it's really important for children to get those from milk.
How do you feel, how do you feel like in your family, what is your approach to milk?
We don't drink as much milk as maybe the average Finnish family. But we do drink some. I personally love milk, and I even before moving to Finland, I was drinking a lot of milk, maybe more than the average Southern European. But to the kids, we try to limit it as we don't see that there is a need for getting so huge amounts of milk. It should be a drink like any else, but nothing.
Yeah.
Kind of.
What about you?
My boyfriend drinks at least a liter of milk per day with every meal, and then when he feels like it, it has to be ice cold.
So he's a true Finn.
He's a very true Finn. in many aspects, but with the milk especially. But I don't drink milk. I had to when I was a child. We got the milk straight from the farmer. Basically straight from the cow. It was mostly still warm and it made me feel really sick. I couldn't process it really well. And I found out later that it's actually not necessarily meant to be like a drink for human beings that are not anymore breastfed. But yeah, so I'm eating milk products. I don't have that much issues anymore nowadays, but the drinking I don't like. I even don't even eat cereals with milk anymore, and my kids drink oat drink because we had quite some problems, especially with the skin, like they have atopic skin, and it's a lot better without milk. So they they eat yogurt and cheese and butter, but they don't drink milk.
Also, I mean, my son is also allergic to milk, and in our family we don't really drink milk, but we do consume milk products, and I think my partner is kind of on the same same wave with me in terms of there's just too much milk and it's unnecessary. And but yeah, if just to kind of give a little summary of where it comes from in Finland, there are really many factors that contribute to such an important role of milk in the Finnish diet. And historically, animal husbandry has been very important. Crops didn't grow well in these temperatures, so meat and milk were essential. And what really made milk into such a superfood in Finland is actually the fact that in the early 1900s, the state of Finland wanted to ensure proper diet in the country, and at the time, milk really was that superfood and a source of fat and protein and vitamins. So they established different state-sponsored programs and educational organizations to fix the image of milk as a proper national building health factor. And these organizations are actually still in operation. And although nowadays there are really a ton of other foods that may have nutritional value, the same nutritional value or even better.
That's what I'm always wondering, because I mean, yeah, calcium and vitamin D, that is even added to the milk nowadays because milk itself doesn't have as much as we would need here. There's so much other sources for those vitamins nowadays that there is just basically no good reason to drink that, at least not that much.
Yeah, and I also read that actually the absorption of the vitamins is not as good with from the milk to the body than it is from some other foods. So
actually, I read somewhere that it was written by a professor, maybe I could link it here, that foreigners and immigrants have a deficiency of D vitamin in Finland because they don't drink milk that much.
Maybe it's because they don't know yet about the...
the value, the nutritional value of milk.
No,
we need to educate them.
Yeah,
this is the education extra. Here right now. Drink milk.
And what about porridge? They tell you to start giving your baby porridge at least in the morning and in the evening, and maybe even as a snack. That feels like quite a lot of porridge to me. And lots of adults even eat porridge still at least for breakfast.
Yeah, I was actually really curious about this topic, and I talked about it with my mother-in-law. And she's from the old guard, so she's been eating porridge every morning her whole life, and she still loves it, and she always says that, like, if she doesn't have porridge in the morning, that it doesn't feel like a proper day and a proper breakfast for her or for them. But yeah, she told me that that around the Second World War, and it was kind of like the only warm meal people would have, and it's filling, it warms you up, and it's healthy. So they kind of saw it as a win-win situation. Everybody was full and not hungry and warm.
And it's cheap.
And it's cheap. It was cheap. Yeah.
Yeah. Up until today, it is the cheapest, most nutritious meal. So it's really good, and it has many health benefits for babies and smaller kids. Porridge is healthy and has a lot of slowly digesting carbs, fibers, and antioxidants coming from the oats.
Yeah, and I think oats are also available, like, easily.
Yeah.
So
and cheaply.
Sense.
Yeah.
Did you start eating porridge when you came to Finland?
I used to eat actually porridge before coming to Finland in my very healthy times when I was training a lot. I would eat porridge in the morning with some protein powder, and since then I cannot eat it anymore because it reminds me of that. And as soon as I smell it, I'm like, no, thank you.
Well, I always ate porridge in the morning as well as a kid. I grew up in Estonia, and I think maybe Eastern Europe and Russia and whatnot, they also have porridge in the morning. So for me, it was a very, very common tradition. But I have to say that after kind of growing up and leaving the house, I never had porridge again.
That's actually interesting, because in Germany, we eat it as kind of cereals. Like, you just pour the oat flakes in your bowl, and then you put cold milk on top and you eat it like cereals.
Oh, so they're not cooked?
No.
Okay.
But they're soft and like, but yeah. If you let them soak a little bit, then they get kind of like similar to the
well,
but it's not warm.
Nowadays it's very trendy, right, to have these
overnight oats.
Yeah, with
I was chia thinking the
seeds.
Same. I was thinking the same.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a modern porridge.
But what about your kids? How do you do it with your kids? How much porridge do they eat? Do they like it?
I mean, porridge is so easy to make, so I so yes, absolutely. I want to offer him porridge every day, but he doesn't always eat it every day. Sometimes. I don't know, he does eat it in the evening, actually. In the morning, he's not a fan of porridge, but in the evening, he likes it.
My kids eat in daycare, so they eat porridge every day in the morning for breakfast, and at home, I'm rarely making it.
It's a savior, you know? It's like you don't have time and you're like, okay, here's a nutritious porridge for you.
That's what my partner always does. He's always like, what should I cook? What should I cook? If he's alone with the kids or if I'm doing something else. And he's like, I'm going to do porridge. And I'm like, yeah, I knew that. I bet our kids are eating porridge now for lunch now when I'm doing this here.
Oh my God. Porridge is great. That's the conclusion.
Yes, definitely. Maybe it doesn't need to be 3 out of 5 meals, but at least it's a good way to feed your kids.
So one habit that Finns have that some foreigners may find really strange and almost brutal is letting your baby sleep outside, even in freezing temperatures. How did you girls feel about this at first?
Yeah, that was a bit surprising to me. I found it also actually a little bit cruel to just leave the babies alone outside somewhere in the stroller. And but when thinking about it a little bit more, then I thought, like, yeah, who in Finland would just steal the baby and take it away?
Well, that's actually interesting because I think most people are thinking more about, are they going to freeze rather than somebody stealing them away?
Well, I think in my culture it would almost be like that people are scared of the kids being kidnapped or something.
Okay.
Yeah, there is actually a Swedish saying that says that there is no bad weather, only bad clothing. So I think that concludes my side on why I'm not worrying about if the kid is gonna be cold. Because you just put enough clothes on.
Well, I grew up in Finland, so for me this was really natural. I was really used to it and I knew I was going to do it too. In Finland, babies have slept outside since 1920s. They say babies sleep outside almost 3 times as long as they do inside.
Yeah, scientists link this actually to the fact that our body temperature naturally drops at night, so when it's colder, so hence when it's cold outside. So the metabolism rate slows down and we spend less energy during sleep.
Mm.
And have you put sense. Actually your babies to sleep outside?
Yes. Put our son to sleep outside, but the problem is that we don't have a balcony.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, we don't. Well, we actually do. Nowadays, the kids sleep inside, but my daughter, for example, slept outside in the stroller until she was almost 1.5 because she wouldn't sleep her nap inside. My son moved to the bed inside when he was a bit under 1 year, I think. But yeah, they have slept quite a bit of their age outside.
Yeah, for me, I use it nowadays really often as a way to get, like, lunch in peace. I just park my kid in front of the restaurant and sit next to the window so I can see him. And he's outside sleeping in the stroller and I'm just having lunch and some time with my friends.
Yeah, that's a good way. I do that too. In general, the first entire year, he would only sleep outside and I would have to walk. He would sleep outside in a moving stroller, so I nice. Didn't have that.
But there's actually also a scientific explanation for that because
really?
Because of the sense of motion in the baby's brain, that it when the stroller stops, there is the balance in the brain, you know, from the ears, that it doesn't stop moving.
Okay.
And then the baby feels kind of dizzy in their head, so then they wake up being like surprised.
Oh, I didn't know that. I always wondered, like, why do you wake up as soon as I stop?
And there are some babies that have that more and some babies have that less, so that's why.
I'm really happy to hear this because I've always
he's not broken.
Yeah, he's not broken, thank God. No, but like, really.
Yeah, so sleeping outside is a nice thing. They sleep better, and if they have the right clothes, then that's quite healthy. Also.
Yeah, definitely. I think everybody should try it out. So all of you out there who are maybe scared to put your kids to sleep in the cold, just do it. You're gonna love it.
Something else that I think is fairly unique to Finland is all that special kids wear.
Yeah, like the rain gear, those kind of plastic jackets and pants that the kids can sit with in the puddles without getting wet. And what I especially love are those long gloves that both the rain gloves. I think that's also quite interesting that gloves don't actually keep your hands warm, but only dry, like those rain gloves. And then also the winter gloves that you can pull up pretty much until the elbow so that no snow goes inside.
Yeah, and don't forget about the overalls. I think they're not that common outside of Scandinavia or Northern Europe. Is there something similar in Canada or other cold climate countries? Let us know.
I don't actually know. Yeah.
Well, I heard that at least in the US, they're not that typical, also in the colder states. But I'm not 100% sure. It's something that would be actually interesting to hear from our listeners. Are the overalls
a thing in your country?
A thing in your country.
And, yeah, what else?
What about those silk hats? They're not like special, but they're super trendy.
But nobody knows how to use them.
Well,
so.
I do.
You do. Enlighten us, please.
Yeah, we had one for our daughter. We got it from her grandma, and it looked cute, but always when I put it on, this pointy little thing in the forehead, it would hang in her eyes, and I didn't, in the end, use it really much.
Well, the point is that you kind of need to tie it up, you know, in a ribbon so that it looks like a ponytail on the baby's head.
Ah, and like then, pikkumu.
Yeah, basically, like pikkumu. And then you just loosen the ribbon as your baby grows, and that one hat is going to last you from, you know, age 0 to 6 months.
Oh, okay.
That's interesting. Maybe I should try that with our next one.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like the diapers that the pull-up pants that I didn't know how to use.
Yeah. You don't know how to use them until somebody explains it to you, and you're like, oh my god, that makes total sense.
Now you have to enlighten the listeners who do not know how to use them properly, Tabea.
Yeah, well, it was when, you know, there's poop in the diapers, and you try to take them out the way you put them on, and then the poop is everywhere, until a friend told me that, well, you know, you can rip them off on the sides and you just take them off like normal diapers. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's what those sides are.
So another thing that Finns have is something called a candy day. Candy day is usually on Saturday, and that's the only day when kids get candy.
Oh, like the Friday bottle of vodka for adults?
Uh-huh, yeah, I guess.
I heard of that one.
Okay, but have you heard of Candy Day?
Yeah, actually I did. When I was au pair, then I bumped into this. I always wondered if that's a good idea.
Yeah, where does it come from?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It actually comes from the 70s and 80s. I think everybody who was born back then knows a candy day. And it's when the Dental Association was encouraging a candy day to prevent dental decay in kids. But however, nowadays, nutritionists do say that it kind of created a bad habit. So basically, if you forbid something, then obviously kids just want it more. And then it also makes candy into a reward, which you don't really want to do.
Yeah, now I get why my partner, who grew up in the 80s, is so addicted to candy and always wants to have his lauantai pussy, which is which is the Saturday bag of candy.
Yeah, well, that's where it comes from, right? Like lauantai pussy. I remember that when I was a kid.
Crazy.
Yeah, let's not forget the baby box. That's an iconic thing for Finland.
Yes, when you think Finnish parenting, you think baby box. Absolutely.
Yes, that's a really cool thing offered by the Finnish government, but that's quite a topic on its own already, so we'll talk about it in another episode.
And then we should also talk more about the dad's role. It's very unique in the Nordics. Dads here take more paternity leave than anywhere else in the world. We will definitely talk about this in one of our future episodes with some daddy guests.
Yay! That was it for today. Thank you for listening. We hope you had as much fun as we did. Tune in for our next episode of Parenting with Sisu. Our next episode is called Parenting with Sisu, just like the name of our podcast. In the meantime, check out the website for more details and resources at parentingwithsisu.com. and read my latest blog post on 8 things I love about being a mom in Finland. Have a great week and see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.